The following message was given at Emmanuel Baptist Church, Coconut Creek, Florida.
Well, we're going to look briefly at Exodus chapter 12, Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to read through verses 1 through 28. And as we've been going through the book of Exodus in our evening service, it just so happens that in God's providence, we've arrived at the Passover in Exodus chapter 12, and it goes into chapter 13 as well. So as we prepare ourselves to receive the Lord's Supper, I thought it would be good to think a little bit about the Passover. Now, last week, if you recall, if you were here, we discussed the sacrifice of the Lamb, and we looked at Abraham, and we looked at Moses, and we saw how all of this points to the Lord Jesus. Well, we'll continue thinking about the Passover again next week, Lord willing, but I want to spend a few minutes meditating on the relationship between the Passover and the Lord's Supper today. Now, I'm not going to do an exposition of the text per se, but rather highlight a few important elements before we eat and drink together. So, the Passover really is a long section of Scripture. Between chapters 12 and 13, there's only really a very short section in the middle of all of that that describes the 10th plague. Most of it is about the Passover. But we're just going to look at the 28 verses of chapter 12. So a fairly lengthy section, but let's read that together, beginning in Exodus 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened, from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly. And on the seventh day, a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days. But what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared for you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places you shall eat unleavened bread." Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses.' And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did so, as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did." Well, you'll notice right out of the beginning here in verse 2, God indicates that this Passover marks a new beginning for the Israelites. They're about to leave Egypt. They're about to be emancipated by God from Egyptian slavery. And so this exodus from Egypt is a turning point in redemptive history. God is redeeming his people. Now, eventually, the Passover would involve the priesthood. But on the night of its institution, as the Israelites gathered in their homes in Egypt, the ceremonial responsibility for the Passover meal was given to the head of each household. He was commanded to take a one-year-old male lamb without blemish. And that lamb would be a substitutionary sacrifice, so it needed to be a symbol of perfection. And then at twilight, it would be killed. Then the Lord told the Israelites what to do with the lamb who was slain. He said, "Take the blood of the lamb, put it on the doorpost, the lintel of your houses, it will be a sign. And when the destroyer comes through town and sees the blood on the door, he will pass over the houses of the firstborn in the home, and they will be spared from the coming judgment that I will bring to Egypt." So after the blood was spread, the lamb was to be roasted and eaten with the people. Verse 8, "They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. You shall let none of it remain until morning. Anything that remains until morning you shall burn." Now, all of this, all of these details are very significant. We won't be able to get into all of them this afternoon. We will, Lord willing, look at that a bit more next week. But the bread was to be unleavened. Why is that? Well, leaven throughout the scriptures is often used to describe sin. And so not wanting to be associated with sin, that you're clearing it out of your house. But more importantly, in this context, it's indicating that their freedom from slavery would come quickly. There was no time to let the bread rise. There was no time to make provisions. This is why they were to eat it in haste. You notice he instructed them, eat this hastily. And why the Lord tells them even how to dress when they come to the table. In verse 11, "You shall have your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste." They needed to be ready to leave at a moment's notice. The bitter herbs that they were to consume with this meal, they were a reminder to the people of 430 years of slavery that they had endured under the barbaric tyranny of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And since the Passover is a sacrifice, eating the lamb is a sacrificial meal like that associated with a peace offering. In such meals, the body of the sacrificial victim is offered to believers to eat after the sacrifice has been made. In verses 14 through 20, God reveals the way future generations of the Israelites are to observe the Passover. This commemoration of when they came out of Egypt is to be celebrated on the seventh day feast of unleavened bread, which will commence with the Passover observance. The people are always to remember their slavery in Egypt and God's act of redemption in freeing them from bondage. This Passover is to be remembered throughout all generations. And then in verses 21 through 28, Moses instructs the people regarding the Passover and what their response is to be. They were to mark the doors using hyssop. And that's a plant that would later be used, we see, in the temple rituals in connection with various purifications. And immediately after all of this, the final plague arrives. Just as God warned through Moses and Aaron, the firstborn throughout the land of Egypt will be struck dead. Now, many people hear this story and they think, well, that doesn't seem fair. Why would the Israelites escape the judgment of God, but not the Egyptians? After all, it was Pharaoh who didn't allow the Israelites to go. So why would all of the people of Egypt have to face this terrible judgment? And most certainly, there's few judgments you can think of worse than this. Well, we considered this last week, but we should be reminded. There's a very important sentence at the end of verse 22. None of you Israelites shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. Why? What the Lord is telling the people is, listen, just because you are a Jew, that will not help you. I'm not judging the Egyptians because they're Egyptians, and I'm not saving you because you're Jews. Your salvation tonight is not because you are Jewish. I don't care if you are the Jew of all Jews. That will not save you. He doesn't tell them that the Jews who have been working really hard to be good people are free to go out, but the wayward Jews better stay in the house and hide. He doesn't tell them that some families are okay to do what he commands and others aren't. What is he telling them? He's saying your pedigree, your family, your ethnicity, your status does not matter. Whether you're living a really good, moral life or living a terrible, sinful life, you're in the same situation. You say, you're no better than the Egyptians. Remember that. Never forget that. You have plenty of sin in yourselves to condemn you forever. This isn't about you, ultimately. The only way you can be saved is through the sheer grace of God and the blood of the Lamb. Because the little lambs have died, your little lamb will not have to die. The lamb is judged instead of you, and your only shelter is under the blood of the lamb. And so as we come to this Lord's Supper, we should be reminded of the connection between this Passover meal that God instituted with the Israelites, and if you talk to any observant Jew, they will tell you this is the most significant event that they look to in Jewish history. And it is one of the most significant events that we look to as Christians. A beautiful picture of God redeeming his people, taking us out of slavery, our slavery to sin, our slavery to death, our slavery to this world, and taking us into freedom, taking us in to this life with Christ, where we are free from that slavery to walk toward the promised land that he has prepared for us. Let's be reminded of the words of the prophet Isaiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. What is he saying? That we are sinners. We have done what is right in our own eyes. We have rejected the truth of God and have not loved him with our whole heart, mind, soul, or strength. But then what does Isaiah say? The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. Notice, Isaiah is not talking about a lamb as an animal. He's talking about a man. A man of incredible value whose death would be so significant that it will pay the debt of sin for us all. It is the blood of this lamb that will fully and finally turn away the wrath of God from his people. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, Jesus is the ultimate Passover sacrifice. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The blood of the new covenant that averts the wrath of God for all who place their faith in him. And so as we come to the Lord's Supper table this afternoon, we come as a people who recognize the significant connection between what God did with his people there in Egypt as they were preparing to leave into the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And we come and we look at the final, complete and total picture as we see the Lord Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb, whose body was broken, whose blood was shed. And as we are covered in the blood of the Lamb, when the Lord finally comes in judgment, he will pass over those of us who will readily recognize, I'm not more worthy than my neighbors. I'm not more deserving than my friends. I am not of a better pedigree. I am not of less sin than anyone I know. Each and every one of us who know Christ can rightly say, right alongside the Apostle Paul, it is I who is the chief of sinners. And yet, because of the blood of the Lamb, I will have everlasting life. And so we come this afternoon to celebrate what Christ has accomplished, that we, as his children, can have everlasting life.
We hope you were edified by this message. For additional sermons, as well as information on giving to the ministry of Emmanuel Baptist Church and on our current building project, you can visit us online at ebcfl.org. That's ebcfl.org.